This morning, we are going to be continuing in our series in the book of Acts. So if you have your Bibles, you need to open them up with me to Acts chapter 6. And we're going to continue right on where we left off 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about, I don't know if that's working or not. 2 weeks ago, I was talking about the persecution, and the Sadducees were saying, you know, you can't preach in the name of Jesus. And they had the disciples flogged back in chapter 5. And they left the Sanhedrin rejoicing, it says in chapter 5, verse 41, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. And if you remember 2 weeks ago, I know it was a long time ago, but I was talking about those three responses. Three responses to the gospel. You can either reject it and get angry, like many of the Sadducees did. You can put it off, like, what was that guy's name back here in chapter 5? What was his name? Gamaliel? Yeah, Gamaliel, like he did. He kind of put it off. He says, oh, we need to study this a little bit more and figure out what these guys are doing, whether this is a real thing or a false thing, and find out if it dies out. A lot of people do that. They just keep putting off the decision. Week after week, they hear the truth, but they just keep putting off the decision. Or you can accept Christ and let him change your life in an incredible, mighty way, and rejoice in the truth of who Jesus is in your life, and allow your life to be changed and renewed and be given a new life. And that's what the apostles did. They rejoiced. And I kind of stopped there. And I didn't mean to. I wanted to show you one more passage, because a lot of the Sadducees were angry. If you remember back in Acts chapter 5, it says, where is this? Acts chapter 5, verse 33, when they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death, all right? And then Gamaliel had the let's put it off thing. But there's one little passage in chapter 6 I'm just going to touch on, then I'm going to get on with my sermon. But in Acts chapter 6, verse 7, it says, so the word of God spread. Look what it says. So the word of God spread. This is sometime later. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. And look what it says. And a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. You see that? A large number of priests became obedient to the faith. You know what? At one point in time, they were angry. At one point in time, they were trying to decide. But we never know when we plant the seeds of Christ what fruit may come from it. Just throwing that out real quick. It's kind of important here a little bit later. So in chapter 6, we're looking at the young church. The young church has started, it's in Jerusalem, it hasn't really gone anywhere else, it's right there in Jerusalem, and it's like any other church that has ever come in history. They had pressures from the inside, doubt on the inside whether they could do this. They had pressures from the outside, people persecuting them, putting them in jail. They had pressures, other pressures from the inside where there was dishonesty with this Ananias and Sapphira. They had all these different things that every church has, okay? And now they're facing the problem that most churches get bogged down in, and they get stymied, if you know what I mean. They stop being effective because of this problem that they're about to face right here. And this is what it is. And in Acts chapter 6, it says, in those days, when the number of the disciples were increasing, whenever people are increasing, whenever there's more people, guess what? With more people comes what? More problems. Not that people are problems, but people have problems. And when more people, when the increase of people starts to come, it brings all those different problems and all those different relationship problems that are going down in the world, and it comes into the church, and it starts affecting the working of the church. And that's exactly what's happening here. In Acts chapter 6, it says, the disciples were increasing, and the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. I'm just going to stop there because I know we're limited on time. A couple of real important things that are going on here. There's a problem in the church. Hellenistic Jews, Hebraic Jews. What's a Hellenistic Jew? A Hellenistic Jew is a Jew who is outside of Jerusalem. He'd grown up outside of Jerusalem. They didn't have all the Hebrew traditions. If you grew up in Jerusalem, in the temple area, they were very steeped in tradition, in the law of what was going on. They went to the temple every day. They did all the different things. The Hellenistic Jews, they didn't have access to the temple. So all the rules and regulations and all the things were not quite as important. The Hellenistic Jews, most of them spoke Greek. All right, they had a different mindset. It's two different cultures, but now they're both in Jerusalem at this point in time, and it's causing problems because it's almost like there is a what is that word? Hang on, like this is really crazy. Like when you they were like prejudice. That's what I'm looking for. Isn't that weird? Wow, I couldn't think of, there was a prejudice going on inside the church. They were looking at these, oh, they speak Greek. They're, you know, they're these type of people over here. They don't understand how important God is and stuff like that. And the Hebraic Jews were over here. They had their own little sect, and they were kind of getting into these little different sects within the church. And what was happening, the widows, the Grecian widows, Hebraic or Grecian Jews, were getting overlooked in the daily distribution of food. And I remember when I first started looking at this text 3 weeks ago, I completely skipped over this. But you know what? There's something really important going on here. Do you see what it says? It says, their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Say that with me. In the daily distribution of food. Say it one more time. In the daily distribution of food. Now, what does that teach you? It's daily. Every day. Every day they were getting together. Every day, these people who were worshiping together, serving together, every day they were dependent on the relationship of themselves to the church. Every day they had a reason to go and to serve. Because it wasn't just the disciples that were doing this. Someone had to bring the food in every day. Someone had to store the food every day. Someone had to distribute the food every day. Every day, someone had to come pick up the food. Every day. They were dependent. They were together. They were worshiping. If you go back in the other parts of Acts, it says every day they met in the temple courts. Remember? In Solomon's colonnade? Every day they got together. And you're thinking, oh no, Elton's wanting to come make us get here every day. You know, I'm not wanting everyone to come every day. But there's a mindset that's different between what the church is supposed to be and what's going on in our minds of what church is now. If most of you think about what it means to belong to a church now, what is your first thought? Well, I go to church on Sunday, right? Church is Sunday. Yes? Come on. It's a big old trap. It's about this big, but you're about to step into it. Church is Sunday. Church is what I do on Sunday morning between the time of 9 and 11:30, or depends on what's going on, maybe 12:30. You never know around here. It's one of those things that's church, right? That's what we have in our mindset of church. It's Sunday morning. You know why that's happened? You know why we have this mindset that church is Sunday morning now, and that's just something we do on Sunday? Maybe we go to a study on Wednesday or Thursday night, or maybe come to prayer, maybe. But it's just, it's Sunday morning. You know why that's happened? It's because the church has given up. We've given up. We've given up the role that God designed for the church to be in our lives in so many different ways. You see, God did not design the church. He did not think of the church, his bride, to get together on an hour on Sunday morning and then the rest of the week go off and live our lives. That's never how God intended the church to be. And he tells us very plainly when he says the daily distribution of food. You see, what's happened in the church over the years is we've given up responsibility. Honestly, we've let it go. We've let it go, and we've let it get specialized in so many different ways. And you know what happens when specialization comes in so many different ways? It's a good thing. But when specialization comes in, it starts getting away from the main focus that God had for it. I'm going to give you a quick example. Everyone know about Salvation Army? Yes? Heard of Salvation Army? Wonderful thing, right? Do you realize, I'm going to read this to you. Do you realize why the Salvation Army was started? I'm going to read it. Here it is down here. Why it was started? Who know? Well, I know some of you know why the Salvation Army was started. There's a guy named William Booth and his wife. And you know what they really wanted to do? They really wanted to go out and make sure that everyone had a place to stay, right? They wanted to make sure that everyone had a house, right? They wanted to make sure that when a storm came in, that everyone would have some place to stay and something to eat and a warm blanket, right? Is that what William Booth wanted? He wanted to make sure that everyone had clothes, right, when in a disaster. Or he wanted to make sure that everyone was treated equal, right? That's what William Booth wanted, right? No. You want to hear what William Booth wanted? Listen to this. Pulled this up on the internet this morning. This is what he wanted. William Booth embarked upon this ministry career in 1852, desiring to win the lost multitudes of England to Christ. To Christ. He wanted to win the lost multitudes of England to Christ. He walked the streets of London to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the poor, the homeless, the hungry, and the destitute. Booth abandoned the conventional concept of a church. Listen to this. He abandoned the conventional concept of a church and a pulpit, instead taking the message to the people. You know why he did that? Because when he presented his idea to the church, this was their idea. It says, his aim was to lead people to Christ and link them to a church His fervor led to a disagreement with the church leaders in London, who preferred traditional methods. As a result, he withdrew from the church and traveled throughout England conducting evangelistic meetings. You see what happened? You see, Booth was looking out at his world, at England, and he was seeing the destitute and the poor and the needy and the hungry, and he thought, you know what? The church should be doing something. You know why he was looking out and seeing nothing going on? Because his church abandoned the role that God designed the church to do. And he said, you know what? We need to do this. I bet he read Acts chapter 6 when he saw the daily distribution of food. And he said, you know what? We're going to reach out to the people, and we're going to help meet those needs, and we're going to let people know that they care, that we care. And the church said, oh, no, that's just way too much work. That goes against our traditional ideas of what the church is supposed to be about. Let's back up from this. It sounds like it might get messy. It sounds like it might cost us something. It might take more than an hour on Sunday morning. The church has been doing this for years. We're backing out instead of roaring forward. You know, we've lost our influence in so many different ways, just in our own country. We've let the government take over. And I'm not an anti-government person, understand that. But I'm really disgusted, not with government, but with the church backing up and saying, oh no, that's just too big for us. We can't handle that problem. I was so disgusted with myself a few months ago. This has bothered me so bad when the apartments caught on fire over here. And my desire was to go over and make sure that everyone had a place to stay and food and start working on it. But all of a sudden I was told, well, the Red Cross is coming in, so you know, just back off. Oh, we need a place to meet. Can we meet in your place? And I did. And I let Red Cross come in and take care of what I needed to do, what we should have done as a church. Let me tell you, church, and I'm not angry, I'm just letting you know. There is no obstacle, there is no challenge that our society is faced with right now that is too big. I am not against Red Cross, okay? Believe me. I think they do a wonderful job. But you know what? Even that organization, they've lost the idea of why they started. Salvation Army, if you get something from Salvation Army, there's rarely any, and I'm not against them, but Christ is no longer the center of the organization. Christ and spreading the good news of Jesus is no longer their main focus. And that's what it started as. Their main focus was Christ, letting people know about Jesus. But see, when an organization splits off, it gets away from its leader's original concept and it starts going in different directions. You know what? Church, these are our jobs. This is what God has called us to do. Do I think all of a sudden we're going to be able to take over these different things? Do you think we can take over the welfare system? Which I think we should. I think the church should. I think there's a problem in our world, in our country right now that is huge, and it's because there's no accountability, no real accountability to the money that's going out. You know what? If a person had to be I'm really getting on a tangent, aren't I? Okay, I'm going. If people had to be accountable for receiving the help that they're receiving today, if they actually had to meet someone and had to be known by someone what they're really doing in their homes every single day, there wouldn't be near the aid that we've got right now. Because the Bible says, if you do not work, you do not eat. If you're not capable, yes, we're going to help you. We're going to take care of you. We're going to strengthen you so that you can be that productive part of society that God designed every single one of us to be. If you need help, yes. But sometimes the help most people need is a hand up, not a push down. We need to lift them up to the potential that God has called them to. Inspire them. Empower them. Give them the hope that can only come through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's time for the church to wake up. I've got a request of you this morning. And then I'm done. Here we go. I've come to the conclusion, and believe me, I've been praying about this a lot. I've come to the conclusion I cannot inspire you. I can't do it. I've come to the conclusion that I cannot energize you. I cannot drive you or push you or pull you. That's got to come from within. It's not going to work any other way. So I'm going to ask you this morning to start praying about how God has designed you. What he has placed within you through that spirit that we've already been talking about here several times. Where he's pulling you, where he's inspiring you to go, and what he's inspiring you to do. I've got some weird ideas going on in my head, have been for a long, long time, and I don't want to tell you what they are because I don't want it to be Eldon's idea. I need it to come from the spirit that lives inside of you, because there's one spirit that lives in every single one of you. You realize that? There's only one Holy Spirit, one. And that Holy Spirit will never disagree with itself. And I believe in my heart of hearts, in all that I am, that Walnut Community Bible Church is a special church. I really believe that with all of my heart. But we've got to move in one direction. Now, that one direction can have different fingers because there's different gifts and different talents here, but we've got to move in a direction. We've got to have one heart, one hope, one purpose, one vision as a congregation. I've told my leadership now for quite a while. I've got one in my head. I've got it here. I've got it here. I've got the steps, but I don't know if it's yours. Needs to be yours. And if the same spirit that is inspiring inside of me is inside of you, I really believe he'll agree. He'll start inspiring us together. But here's the thing. That's only going to happen if you'll take the time to listen. Really. And pray. And open your heart and mind up to who he is and what he wants to do. We're busy. I get that. I understand. But do you remember who created you? Do you remember who gave you life? Do you remember who gave you this day? Do you remember who has the potential for tomorrow? Do you remember the one who gave you the knowledge and the skill and the ability that you have right now, the resources that he's given you? He didn't do that to waste. He did it for his glory, for his purpose, and for his plan. I know I've said this 1,000 times. I'm not a sitter. I'm not a waiter. I want to go. There are so many lost people in this place, in this region, in this community, in this surrounding area who needs one thing and one thing only, and that is Jesus. They need to know that he exists, that he is real, and he is more than able to help meet the needs that they have in their lives. They need to know that there's more to this world and to the world to come, because this is just a tent. It's so temporary. They need to know. And whether you like it or not, we are the instrument that God has given to let them know this good news. Start evaluating what's on your plate, how important it really is, where your time is really going, where your resources are really going. Because I think a time is coming very soon that he's going to call us on the table for. And he's going to ask, what did you do? Where did you use it? And we'll have to answer. The daily distribution of food. Let's think. Let's pray. Let's put it before him and let God be in control. And don't be afraid and don't shrink back. Don't say, what if? What happens? What if this? But just follow. Let the heart and the power of Jesus work in your life. Let him be in control and not you. Let's stand as we sing. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, Lord God. Oh, Lord, I know that you made us for so much more than this. Lord, I just want to officially apologize, Lord, for the wasted time, for the wasted effort, for the distractions that pull my mind and heart and actions away in so many different venues. Lord, I pray that that you would awaken your church, not just here at Walnut Community Bible Church, but your church as a whole to the incredible, amazing task that you have laid before us to make disciples, to let people know of the good news of Jesus. Lord, help us not to hang on in such a way that we're trying to control the results, but Lord, help us to just be obedient in the things that you've called us to do. Lord, help us to see the needs around us, open our minds, open our eyes, open our hearts to really see it. To see the gifts and the talents that you've already given to us, Lord, and the blessings you've already showered us with, Lord. Help us to connect all those dots, all those pieces, in such a way that we can see just a small glimmer of the picture, the incredible masterpiece that you have designed for us as a body. Then help us tear off everything that hinders us and everything that holds us back and run that race. Heavenly Father, God, we need you. We need you in our homes. We need you in our workplaces. We need you in our recreation. Lord, we need you in our schools. We just need you. And Lord, I know that's not going to happen until we just seek you out. Seek you with our whole heart, God. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would give us desire to know you better, to seek your direction. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would give us one heart, one mind, one spirit. I pray that you would create a miracle in Walnut Community Bible Church, that you would give us the same heart, and that when we see it and recognize it, we can't know that it comes from any other place but you. Lord, we need you. Help us as only you can. Inspire us as only you can. Give us your love so that we can share with those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.